The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Sarah Jackson, Vice President Sales Engineering, and Ken Curry, Group Vice President Oracle in their public sector area. How are you two today? Good?
Great. Doing great, John. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, 503 shows. I've talked about just everything under the sun, maybe everything under the cloud. And today we're talking about the cloud and where Oracle fits in this. And I would think that if I were to sit in the metro and grab someone in the metro and say, well, what do you think about Oracle? They're normally going to think about Oracle maybe behind a firewall. But I think the transition today is looking at Oracle and their position in the cloud and how they can help my federal IT listeners make that transition. And what we're trying to do is maybe give some guidelines, some suggestions, some ideas. And maybe after the interview, maybe our listeners will walk out with some ideas they didn't have before. And maybe they will help make a transition to the cloud, whether it's public, private, whether it's hybrid, whether it's who knows what it's going to be. But before we begin, let's get about the background. Sarah, what's your background, please?
Well, my entire career has been dedicated to helping governments, federal, state, and local, enable their mission through technology. So I've been doing this for about 25 years and seen a lot of progress. And the cloud is probably the fastest enabler that I've seen in my career anyway.
So tell me about the Oklahoma Cowboys. My wife went to OU, and you're the competition, aren't you?
Hey, that's absolutely right. Oklahoma State Cowboys, born and raised, and whole family went to Oklahoma State. So it was just there 2 weeks ago.
So my wife works with a guy who's 6'10", professional basketball player, who went to OSU, and they have a bet every year about the football game, and you got to wear the competitor's jersey, and it's really embarrassing.
It's bedlam, and it's bedlam. I like the color that you have on right now.
My wife probably didn't pick this out because it's the wrong color. So a lot of experience with the federal government, all kinds of knowledge with issues and concerns and problems, and how to help out my listeners. That's a good background for you, isn't it?
Yep. Glad to be here.
Yeah. And Ken, your background, please.
Yeah. So again, thanks for having us out here. I originally, out of college, worked with the FDA, worked in the FDA, actually, in the computer systems branch, so I got a good taste of federal. And then from there, I went to PricewaterhouseCoopers and worked consulting a lot in state and local businesses. Did software, and for the last 10 years have been working with Oracle in public sector specifically, and working really focused on the mission of our public sector customers, figuring out how to enhance that, figuring out how to go faster, and it's really been a wonderful experience, especially with all the changes going on with the cloud.
My wife also is a Latin teacher, and so when I went to your LinkedIn profile, you got some fancy Latin words after your name as an undergraduate, don't you? Well, you might as well tell them. I'd brag about this. The fancy words are summa cum laude, right?
I was good at testing. Yeah.
No, it's pretty good. I mean, I'd have that in my forehead. Hi, how you doing? Did you know when I graduated I was summa cum laude?
It's been quite a few years, but sure.
No, but I think that a technical background gives you the ability to come up with ideas and topics that will resonate with the audience. It's not lightweight. It's not, look, I've been there. I know what the code's all about, and here's what the reality is. So I think that's a good way to establish credibility. Is that, okay, this guy's done it, been there, been down the bushes, stayed up all night long, got frustrated, maybe punched a wall, and then endured and found out how to use the cloud to help out our federal customers. And I think this is a challenge that we all have. I've had people sit in here from the EOP, from the Executive Office of the President, and pound on the table and talk about cloud. My goodness, 8 years ago, we had people talk about 25-point plan and the cloud and this and back and forth. And it's been beaten up and attacked. And I see what a lot of people are looking at now is something called the hybrid cloud. But I think I want to talk about just the whole idea of why the cloud. Sarah, maybe you can jump in here and say, why should they even be concerned about the cloud?
Yeah, well, we're just seeing, I mean, you know, I think the federal agencies get it because we're already seeing a lot of them move to the cloud. But obviously, it can be just a huge enabler for them. They can move quicker than ever. Software as a service in particular can deliver current capabilities, allowing them to be more agile than they ever have been in the past. Plus, they're still looking for efficiency now more than ever in some cases. We have a customs and border patrol that uses cloud to aid global travelers coming into the U.S., and they've been able to move 95% of their phone traffic to web self-service. And you know, obviously the other benefits of the cloud around SaaS anyway is the removal of all the costly upgrades and the maintenance, allowing the software vendor to take care of those things while our federal agencies focus on their mission. And I guess, you know, one of the most important things is just the availability of modern technology that the cloud provides. Idaho National Lab is another one of our customers, and they deployed our recruiting cloud service because they wanted to attract millennials, and they knew that they needed a modern tool to do that.
You know, tonight at 5:20, I'll walk into a classroom at Georgetown with a bunch of graduate students, 19 graduate students, and they hate the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they hate the phone.
That's old
school. I mean, the phone is not even something that, why should they bother calling? And they want that ability to call in, to go to a website and get their question answered before anything else. I mean, this is increasingly the way things are done. And people in my generation, believe it or not, I'm over 20, people in my generation maybe resist that, you know. Yesterday, I tried to order a hinge for my kitchen cabinet, and the website said, take a picture of the hinge and email it in.
Wow.
And the email went back, here's the hinge. But, and I ordered it. Yeah. It was no humans. It was some human at the other end, but this is a new trend, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? Again, I think a lot of the federal agencies get it. I read something in the Post recently that the TSA has more Instagram followers than Beyonce. So, you know, the point is that, you know, all of these modern innovations and apps that we use in our personal life, they can really be a huge accelerator for our federal agencies and very inexpensive in a lot of ways.
And when I think of Oracle, I think of sailboats. I think of personalities and sailboats. I never think of, you can just, you know, go to the website and then order it online and don't have to call anyone. It's just, you know, what Oracle does is it's an enabler of technologies to allow millennials to use it appropriately, to maybe interact with federal sites more effectively.
Exactly. You know? A good example, state and local example, but speaking of sailboats, the San Francisco Fire Department is using some of our social listening and engagement tools to actually save lives. So that's you know, the inexpensive channel that they use. They reach the constituents where they are on those social media sites, and that's how they communicate. So pretty powerful stuff.
Ken, I'm going to Denver in 2 weeks. I'm going to give a little talk out there, and that's the center of the world for homegrown plants. And I think about Colorado and homegrown plants.
Sure.
And I think of the federal government homegrown software. And so you have agencies who are sitting here who have some software they've developed and customized years and years and years. And this may be an obstacle. They can say, hey, Ken, you don't get it. You know, this was started in 1971 and it's all customized. We really can't make a move to the cloud. That's a challenge for many listeners, isn't it?
Sure. And that's a fair statement. And quite frankly, a lot of public sector requirements, they're unique. Right. And they don't always go directly to COTS application. Right. And so they had to build it out. And there was nothing wrong with that. That was the right thing to do. I think there's a lot more opportunity to look at SaaS and products there. But you're right. There is always going to be the need for custom products. And so at that point, modernization is definitely something that never ends there. And I think with what's going on in the cloud, there is there's really new and innovative ways to look at those old problems in a different way and leveraging the technology. You know, as Sarah pointed out, there's modern capabilities are a big driver, right? Being able to please and delight your customers quicker, faster, and quite frankly, cheaper, which is really unique in our industry, changing from a generational of computing to cloud computing, which actually spends less money. It really makes a compelling reason to look at the cloud and really look at it today with any of your projects. Some make more sense than others, quite frankly, John, but it is really a very, very exciting time. What we've done at Oracle with a lot of this building blocks of, let's say, custom projects is we've automated a lot of those projects in the cloud. So where you look at cost for IT, especially for custom products, there is a lot of cost. In fact, most of the cost, I think it's 80%, you had said on your radio program not too long ago, 80% is operations and maintenance. And what we've done is automate a tremendous amount of that. So things like typical stuff for, let's just say, the database, patching, monitoring, managing, upgrading, all of that stuff is a lot of manual stuff. And, you know, quite frankly, we come out with a patch every quarter, a security patch, and that's quite a bit of work. So, you know, if you just take your database and you take it from your data center and throw it on a cloud, let's say, an infrastructure, that's not going to get you the big savings. It will definitely save you some hardware costs and, you know, figure out, and you'll pay for it differently. But if you actually take it and put it at Oracle Database as a Service, you get a big opportunity to save a ton of money on operations and maintenance.
A Database as a Service, a DAS, huh?
That's a new acronym. There you go.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about DAS, PaaS, and SaaS, and all kinds of acronyms here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Sarah Jackson, Vice President, Sales Engineering, and Ken Curry, Group Vice President, Oracle Public Sector. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Sarah Jackson, Vice President, Sales Engineering, Ken Curry, Group Vice President, Oracle Public Sector. Before the break, we were trying to dazzle the audience with these fancy pants technical terms, SaaS, PaaS, whatever heck it is. Well, Ken, you're the smartest one in the room here. You're going to have to give us a three-hour diatribe on SaaS and PaaS. So what is the difference, SaaS and PaaS? Give us a thumbnail sketch.
Yeah, well, you know, quite frankly, the government defined these terms, and NIST really defined as a service model. And if you think about it, there's no application that just runs by itself. It has usually a database underneath it. It usually has a server underneath it. It usually has storage underneath it. It usually has some kind of integration before you get actually to the application. So if you think of it at a very high level, infrastructure as a service is probably the common one you think about. And that's storage, server, networking stuff, really that stuff you physically see in the data center. So that would be considered infrastructure service or IaaS. Now, as you move up to really what we would consider the value chain, you know, more pre-built stuff, you come up to a level called PaaS, and that's platform as a service. So as I referred to before, database as a service, integration as a service, mobile cloud services, things that are building blocks that are pre-built that allow you to take advantage and maybe get rid of a lot of the work when you're building a custom app, as opposed to just doing it at an infrastructure layer where you're really wiring everything. And then probably the greatest value, which Sarah alluded to, is software as a service. And that's where you're actually getting a COTS product, but it's managed by Oracle. It's maintained. It's upgraded. It's all the things that used to be a little bit harder with COTS products you're getting in a product. So an ERP or an HCM, and Sarah can probably talk a lot more to that end of it. But so customers, when they're looking at modernizing and modernizing to the cloud, John, they really look at, well, what makes sense, right? Where should I start? Where should I approach that? And if they can approach it with a SaaS product, by all means, they're going to get their greatest value there. And then they work from there down to PaaS and then IaaS.
You know, Sarah, modernization is kind of an important topic for databases for many. And what happens is I'm getting to the point where I can look at a site and I can almost tell when it was updated. It was five years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years. I can almost tell. And I have students who focus in on UI UX and they've learned me up. They've taught me exactly, well, here's what's going on. And here's the trends and here's not the trends. So what about user experience? Does this fit in with this PaaS and SaaS nonsense? Or what about the users? That's what I want to talk about. My listeners, does it help them or hurt them?
Absolutely. Well, it helps them. Like I said earlier, you know, we're all so used to our apps and all of our mobile technology and innovations that we use as consumers and in our personal lives. And now we're expecting that in the workplace as well. And governments are no exception. Certainly when we think about attracting the next generation of government employee, we have to have the tools that are modern, you know, to be able to let them come into the workplace and use the same tools that they're using in their personal lives. You know, there's a lot of different decision points about when customers move to the cloud, whether it's, you know, when they're facing an upgrade or a hardware refresh. So, you know, points like that are kind of logical moments for customers to consider modernizing and moving things to the cloud. But really, it's kind of a personal decision. Everybody has different pain points and different priorities. The United Nations Development Program is a good example. They have about 40,000 learners worldwide. So they have to when they roll out their training, they have to have something that's scalable. So they put learning capabilities in the cloud. They also put service request and policy automation pieces in the cloud while they're still running core human resources and ERP finance on premise. So, you know, like I said, everybody kind of has a different set of priorities, a different schedule. But at the end of the day, it is all about the user experience, whether it's the citizen's experience or the internal employee's experience.
Well, Ken, I'm not a young puppy like you, and I can remember old school TV commercials. And back in the day, there's this TV commercial, maybe your father told you about it, and it was like, no wine before it's time. No wine before it's time. I remember this distinctly, you know. And when I was young, we were having babies that, when's she due? No wine before it's time. You always had to wait. This may be applied to the serious world of the federal government, too. I mean, if an agency is listening, and they're kind of scratching their head, and they got the whiteboard out, and they're trying to figure out, well, can this move to the cloud? Maybe you might have to jump in and say, well, no wine before it's time. You know, here's a mature. I guess there's guidelines for making this transition. Are there? That's what I'm getting at. Is there guidelines for making this transition, or when is it applicable? When is it not?
Yeah, that is a wonderful question, and there's a tremendous amount of pressure, right, on all IT organizations across federal agencies. So there is some good rules of thumb to go with this, and I'll just point out a couple that we're finding, and we're looking for more and more patterns, but there is really one common pattern. Everybody's interested, obviously, in new functionality and cost savings, right? But some applications, I think you're right in your commercial reference. Some legacy applications that have a lot of integration points into other applications, and maybe they even go across agency, that can be kind of like pulling a thread on a sweater, right? So, you know, a big legacy migration probably isn't always the best first choice. Clearly, low-hanging fruit is any new applications, any new functionality. That's a great, great candidate. Quite frankly, in situations like that, the question should be asked, if I'm not doing this in the cloud, why aren't I doing it with the cloud? And by the way, if SaaS isn't the particular fit for what you're looking at, you know, leveraging PaaS as opposed to starting from scratch on just infrastructure as a service can give a huge leg up, shorten the cycle, and really deliver new functionality even for those custom applications.
And that's being honest. It's not always a good fit, but you have to just figure out what is a good fit, what isn't, and make the transition from there. Because if you pick the wrong system, you're just going to set yourself up for failure.
Now, I will say one point on that, John. You're right. The whole set yourself up for a failure or a big investment and then realizing maybe it's quite not what is right for your agency or organization, that has changed, right? The beauty of the cloud is I don't need to lay down the servers. I don't need to lay down the network. I don't need to get the IT people involved to define the database and install all my stuff. And by the way, pre-purchase the product and get it all and then test it out. It's a major shift there where we're seeing a lot of organizations using the cloud as really innovation enablers. So as opposed to having to avoid maybe testing out leading edge stuff for fear of, quite frankly, making a public capital investment a bad one, the cloud allows those agencies now to do real quick evaluations and do it cost effectively, which was not available in the past. So even with Oracle, you know, we have a $300 free credit. You can come on and use our stuff, and many vendors do, right? And so you can get a quick win, or even say, hey, quickly, let's fail it. This isn't going to work for us at this point. This isn't requiring that, but without that huge investment. So it's an exciting time to test out stuff.
No, sir, there's a woman-owned company in Alexandria. My last show was all about SBA and women-owned companies, so it's on my brain. I'm thinking about women-owned companies. I have, three sisters, a wife, and two daughters, so I'm thinking about it all the time. But in Alexandria, there's this woman-owned company that sells cameras, and they have a little booklet, and the booklet is called Hocus Pocus, Who's Got the Focus? I love that little phrase. And so the question my audience is asking is, what should they focus on? Should they focus on small wins? Take the small win, notch it up, small win, notch it up, small win, notch it up, and then go to your boss and say, ma'am, we won three times. Can we step up? Is this a transition focus?
Yeah. And again, you know, everybody's a little bit different, but in the federal agencies, we are seeing an incremental move. So like Ken said, it's really more of that kind of hybrid environment where they have some pieces, some applications that are on premise that really need to stay there for whatever reasons, whether it's they have really unique requirements, Or if, you know, they just don't have the appetite or the budgets right now to move to the cloud. But the pieces that we're seeing be really successful in the cloud are, you know, those high pain points, those kind of modular components, whether it's talent management, recruiting, budgeting, customer service, knowledge base, things like that. But I tell you, you know, integration is something to consider as well when moving to the cloud. It's not just all magic. You still have to have connected systems, whether they're in the cloud or on-premise. So, you know, suites are to be considered as well. I mentioned state and local earlier, and that sector of government really is considering more of the suite sell. So looking at full enterprise-wide systems and moving those to the cloud. But again, for the federal agencies right now, it's really more of an incremental play, and we're seeing them have a lot of success with that, by the way.
You know, Ken, last Friday I spent 8 hours at Fort Belvoir. I gave a workshop on strategic communications. And strategy is always important in communications, and strategy is important in moving to the cloud. Let's take a break. Come back. We'll toss over to you and talk about the strategy behind making this transition and on-prem, off-prem, hybrid, public, private, maybe some guidelines for our listeners. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Sarah Jackson, Vice President, Sales Engineering, Ken Curry, Group Vice President, Oracle Public Sector. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. Sarah Jackson, Vice President, Sales Engineering. Ken Curry, Vice President, Oracle Public Sector. We're talking about Oracle and how Oracle can help my listeners. That's it. That's the name of the show. How Oracle can help my listeners. You know, whenever I talk about strategy, I always put up this slide with Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln famously said that if I had 4 hours to chop down a tree, I'd spend 3 hours sharpening the axe. In other words, strategy.
That's great.
And so what strategy should my listeners use to make this transition or even consider this transition? Is there a checklist you have? Or what do you think, Ken?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the reality is, as you said in the beginning of the program, it is going to be hybrid cloud in some form or fashion for certainly the next 5 or 10 years. And so the real question that should be asked is, where should I go? What should I go with, and where and when? And quite frankly, we're recommending somewhat of a cascading approach to your cloud candidates. So first, is there a SaaS application that meets my requirements? The simple question, there is no faster way to get there than by deploying a SaaS application. And then we ask, can I leverage PaaS? If SaaS isn't going to do it, can I leverage PaaS? And again, these are the building blocks that are already in place by Oracle, and they're going to offer this tremendous opportunity to save time and money, especially not only in the building of it, but also the operations and maintenance, which I think is the big opportunity here for public sector. Now, if those two don't help, or they help just a little bit, then we look at infrastructure. And that's probably what, for the past 5 years, when people think of cloud, they think of, you know, hardcore servers, networks, storage, and stuff, which is interesting. And for some applications, even if they look the same in the cloud as they do now, but you move it and lift and shift it over to the cloud, there's going to be some neat benefits by just being in that, as Sarah talked about, that single view of the cloud, that single data center that has PaaS capabilities and SaaS capabilities. So you can do things like put database as a service underneath, put a mobile front end on it, but it can still be that legacy app. So finally, what are those apps that just aren't ready or maybe will never be ready? There's still an opportunity there. I want to make clear that there are techniques that cloud providers use, like consolidation and automation of workloads, and can be used inside federal data centers to provide better efficiencies and economies of sales. So innovation isn't reserved up for just in the cloud, John. There's still going to be a great many systems in the federal data centers for a long time to come, and there's no reasons that they can't take advantage of cloud technology. For example, our Oracle Cloud Machine is the Oracle Cloud, but it's behind their firewall, and they can leverage some of those great tools and techniques.
Well, innovation is going to be a popular topic here for the next 6 months. In fact, Sarah, I'll bet that 6 months from now, people may be typing in your name and listening to this interview when there's snow on the ground. And so where can they get more information about your program?
Yeah, I'd love for them to do that. Yeah, absolutely. A lot more information on our website, including customer success stories that might spur some ideas for them. So it's oracle.com/industry/public sector. Please check it out.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And when I at the beginning of the show, I talked about Oracle and that sailboat and the catamaran. And when I was a young man, I used to crew on yacht races, and I used to do that stuff very well years ago. And that's what I think about Oracle. But that ain't Oracle, is it? Oracle's changed here in the last few years, hasn't it?
Yeah, we sure have. You know, what's funny is we talk to customers about mapping out their journey and their transformation. But actually, internally, we've undergone quite a transformation ourselves. If you think about just our software development cycle, you know, the way we develop and deploy software has completely changed. When you think about licensed software vendors, they get enhancement requests from federal agencies and various customers. They put that into the machine. They start building out that next release of software. Our federal agencies usually aren't the first to uptake when a new upgrade opportunity becomes available. So sometimes it could be 5 or 10 years before that capability actually gets rolled out to their users. And so with the cloud, that is absolutely turned on its head. Now with SaaS applications, we have about 2 releases a year. So that's one big change for, you know, just the cadence of innovation internally for us. But also the focus on customer success. Now that we're, you know, providing a utility for the customers, we're with them 24/7. So it's no longer that we sell the licensed software and then they can do with it what they want. You know, we still have responsibility for maintaining that software in our cloud. So it's a much different relationship, really, that we're forging with our customers. And attached to that is really kind of this concept of communities. So not only are the customers in a community with us with constant conversation and constant communication, but we want our customers to work together as well. So we have online communities where customers that are kind of birds of a feather can work together. And one of the big benefits, you talked about benefits for your users. One of the big benefits for that is in our latest release of our HCM cloud, which is our human resources capabilities in the cloud, 80% of new capabilities in the latest release came from that community environment. So very much kind of going back to the social media and social aspects of our cloud capabilities, being able to leverage those users together to have a really strong voice back into product development. And lastly, I guess just, you know, our internal processes have modernized as well through this transformation. We really want to smooth the journey to the cloud for our customers. So we're trying to make that transition, just the administrative process of moving to the cloud, as seamless as possible for our customers.
You know, Ken, one of my favorite stores is a container store. And stroll through there and get stuff makes my garage much more efficient. But when you apply containers to the cloud, you get situations where 2 + 2 = 8 and 2 + 2 = 10. You get massive scales. You get exponential growth of volumes and scaling is a question. So my question to you is, okay, so let's say one of my listeners over at DOI, the interior, they make this little baby step and they put something in the cloud. Is that as scalable as something behind the wall? I mean, how do you scale systems like this? I mean, that must be a limitation, I would think.
Yeah, that's a great question. So in parallel with internally changing our processes, even externally dealing with how you interact with Oracle has totally transformed. But we've also looked at our product set and said, well, if we're going to scale beyond our largest customer, right? You're talking millions and millions. I mean, we have 77 million customers use our cloud today, right? It is a lot every day.
I'd lose that question on Jeopardy. John, on Jeopardy, how many millions use the Oracle Cloud? What's the number? 77 million?
77 million, over 70 million.
I'm going to have you sit next to me on Jeopardy the next time I'm on their category, Oracle. Really? Right. I never would have guessed that.
Well, even transactions a day. Want to guess that?
That's got to be one of those P words or B words.
It is a B word, and a good B word.
Is it a petabyte?
That's right. 33 billion transactions
Ken
a
Curry
day.
On Jeopardy. Okay. The answer is 77 million. What is?
Next question. Next question. I'm ready.
I'd be stunned. That should be my lead in the headline for this. Wow.
Well, that's fun stuff. But the reality is the real stuff that matters to your listeners is taking a database. Let's pick something common from Oracle, a database. You've got a strong DBA. And just to install it, configure it, monitor, put it all together, typically, John, in yesterworld was, let's say, a day and a half, right? And it was probably 50 to 60 discrete steps with maybe steps below that. That's totally changed with database as a service, right? We can literally do that, and I'm not exaggerating, 5 to 6 clicks on a screen, and you've got a database as a service. You've got all the stuff wrapped around it. You've got your maintenance done. You've got upgrading. You've got patching. All that's done by Oracle. And it probably takes it to about a half hour to get it all done, mostly because all the engine stuff happening, because you're rolling out a pretty industrial strength enterprise database, but you're doing it in a web easy a way to do it.
Let's take a break and come back. And I think what I focus on in the final block is some of the challenges here, maybe obstacles to making this transition. I think we talked about scaling. I'd like to talk about information security and maybe data fragmentation, especially when you have a database that is connected to other systems. Sometimes this can really be an obstacle to making this transition. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Sarah Jackson, Vice President, Sales Engineering, Ken Curry, Group Vice President at Oracle Public Sector. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Sarah Jackson, Vice President, Sales Engineering, and Ken Curry, Group Vice President, Oracle Public Sector. Well, we spent the last 2/3 of the show talking about Oracle, and I heard that stunning number of 77 million people using Oracle Cloud. I mean, that's a number that I find hard to believe. If you are listening to this show and you're scratching your head and you realize that maybe your agency's budget's going to be cut and you have to make this transition in the next 6 months, or you're going to get fired and you're worried and scared and concerned, I would think, what is the first step? Where do you begin something? I mean, this is what a lot of people want to know. So, Ken, you know, talk to my listener here who's sitting over at HHS. They got this big project on their desk, and they know their budget's going to get cut, and they got to do something quickly, be agile, and come up with these new reports. What's the first thing they should do?
Hey, that's a great question. So let me touch on a couple things here, because there are different approaches, there's different paths, but, you know, clearly, if you're running any type of Oracle stuff, we're going to do it really, really efficiently, and we're going to do really good things in the cloud when you check it out. So first of all, there's a free $300 credit that anybody can go. They can sign up. They can check out any of the Oracle technologies. But in terms of our customers, what we're seeing and where they're starting is, for example, I have a large DoD customer that's looking at large projects. And what they've decided to do, and it's a pretty easy thing to do, is use the cloud for development and tests. They can save a lot of money. And even though eventually they'll move their stuff over to DoD environments, they can leverage our government cloud, and they can spin up secure environments very, very quickly. Another example is something like, I have a civilian customer that's really doing a lot of stuff to modernize operations and maintenance and take their manual tasks and get rid of it. And so with that, they're implementing new tools. They're implementing small environments on the cloud, but they're leveraging these really sophisticated Oracle Cloud Management tools to run their full cloud in both dev and test, the on-premise one and their cloud one. And it saves them a tremendous amount of time and money. And then, quite frankly, the last area that's happening even faster in state and local business, John, is if anybody's running an Oracle application like eBusiness Suite, like PeopleSoft, and they're not ready to switch to SaaS, we have a program where we can very quickly lift and shift that application out of their data center and put it on the Oracle Cloud. And then you can modernize it around it. You can put databases as a service and get a lot of efficiencies. You can start looking at the SaaS functionality and start augmenting it with SaaS functionality. And so you're getting that without a big cost of an upgrade or some of the other stuff that was maybe traditional in some of the COTS applications.
Sarah, I go to LA all the time, and my wife and I have been in LA sitting in a restaurant, and you always overhear conversations, you know, and it's always fascinating. Here you overhear conversations about, you know, the federal government and about projects and pilots. And everyone says, yeah, I'm working on a pilot with Ken Curry, and he won't take my call. But blah, 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 blah. So maybe a pilot may be the first step for some of my listeners. I mean, a little baby step, maybe take advantage of $300 credit and just test drive a little bit.
Hmm? Yeah, absolutely. I think it's all about setting the expectation, and a pilot can be a great approach for that. But I just think, you know, our agencies need to get educated, understanding, you know, what life in the cloud is all about, what it is, what it isn't, what the role of the cloud vendor is, what the role of the federal agency is. Because, you know, again, expectation is kind of everything. Working with your users to understand that in the cloud with business applications, you know, software as a service, there's no customizations. You have no access to the source code. So that's sometimes, you know, a big hurdle for end users to kind of get their head around. But, you know, we were with a set of customers in the international community this week, and I thought they had a great comment. They talked about, you know, the standardization of some of these business processes like, you know, service requests and recruiting. And they said, you know, when they were working with their end users and rolling out some of these functions in the cloud, they talked to their users and said, hey, what about email? Why would you want to customize email? Think the same way about recruiting or customer service requests. These are standardized business processes. They come with best practices built in the cloud. So, you know, kind of shift your mindset from customization to configuration and personalization. So, you know, those trade-offs are really important for our end users and our customers and our federal agencies to understand. But the benefit obviously is there. The benefit is now that they get more time to spend on their mission. I think I mentioned Air Force earlier, but they have a MyPERS system, which is basically an HR help desk where they have 3 million active and retired military and families going to this website, getting their questions answered. And so, you know, instead of triaging servers, now they're out there helping airmen. So the benefit is there, but setting the expectation, like you said, potentially embarking on a pilot, great approaches to taking the first step with the cloud. But with, you know, all modernization or transformation projects, executive sponsorship is key. What we've seen be successful is, you know, the projects where we have the greatest leadership and governance still in place. So some of those core tenets of any kind of IT technology project are still in place, whether it's cloud or on-prem. Leadership, executive sponsorship, governance, all really important when you think about moving to the cloud as well.
You know, Ken, earlier you talked about automating some functions, and I wrote down Boston Scientific, because if you go to YouTube and you look at those robots that they have, there's a lot of artificial intelligence that people are using nowadays, and that's what I thought of. I mean, I think Oracle must be tapping into some of that capability in order to automatically update and do patches and allow for the scalability. That may be a part of this whole process. Does AI fit in here, or am I just stretching it?
Yeah, it's a big part of it, right? Especially since we have such huge data sets, right? We can look across so many customers, and we can see the patterns that we see. And as Sarah pointed out, when we're doing things like database as a service, or even, quite frankly, database backup, they're low-hanging fruit, they're automated, they're extremely efficient, and you're talking about taking, you know, 80%, 90% of the work out, and by the way, it's cheaper, right? And so we can look at those patterns, and they're probably the best patterns in the industry to be able to do that. But so that makes it so it's just a lot easier for IT and the business to move up the value chain and say, how can I can excite and delight and focus more on my mission as opposed to focus more on my wiring or doing making sure the product's running or making sure it has the greatest security patch. We can do all that in an automated way.
Sarah, you talked about executive buy-in is what I would call it, or leadership buy-in. And many times leaders shout out all kinds of things like ROI and timing and how long, and they don't want to hear 2 years. and they don't even want to hear 1 year. You know, the CEOs I talk to, they pound on the table and they go, 6 months, what do you got? And so they're going to ask this question about time to value. Okay, so Ken here, he whipped up this little pilot, kind of looks kind of good. I don't know if we should make the next step or not. So tell me, Sarah, then show me the money. I mean, what's the ROI in 6 months? Are we just going to pat Ken in the back? Or is this going to help our agency achieve its goals, whether it's the Air Force, whether it's HHS, whether it's transportation, agriculture? I mean, we could do 20 shows just on agriculture and big data. There's so much going on there. I mean, so there we go, agriculture. So how can a little pilot show value quickly?
Yeah, and that's such a great point, and I can't believe we haven't really gotten to that yet. But we've talked about efficiency in the cloud, but speed is what the cloud is all about. So we have customers, whether it's a pilot or their full implementation, FDIC rolled out planning and budgeting in the cloud in 8 months.
So 8 months.
Absolutely.
Write that one. Another headline.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of these projects are a matter of months, not years, not, you know, 5 years, not decades, that sometimes we've seen with federal agencies. So speed is what it's all about, speed and having access to modern, current technology.
Speed not only typing in a name and getting a result, but speed in actually having the system there where you can type in the name. I get speed. I keep thinking of these large databases and just accessing. It's just, you know, the challenge is here. I mean, and it's not getting any smaller as it can. I mean, these databases out there every day, IoT, sensors, cars, satellites, bombarded with that.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of data out there, and that's the beauty of, you know, being in this business for Oracle for the past 40 years and making it with every transition and every type of data as it gets more and more. You've just got social data, you've got locational data that's attached to everything, and we're really taking all of that information and putting it together and making it so it gives out really useful answers so you can make real better decisions based on that data.
Good. We're going to have to end our interview today. We've had a lot of fun talking about Oracle, the new Oracle, and the word millions of millions have popped up several times here. You have been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Sarah Jackson, Vice President, Sales Engineering, Ken Curry, Group Vice President, Oracle Public Sector. Thank you.